You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Good morning, afternoon, or evening, wherever you are, whatever time it is, you are listening to the Locked On Kings podcast. It is a cloudy, cold, rainy Tuesday here in Sacramento, California, but that's okay because the Kings are in Dallas, Texas for their final meeting with the Mavericks this season, looking to complete the season sweep over Luka Doncic and that Dallas squad. That game at 5:30 Pacific time tonight, and we will have the full preview plus much more here on today's Locked On Kings podcast. Welcome into Locked On Kings, your daily hub for Kings coverage. If you're looking for in-depth analysis, game-by-game breakdowns, highlights, interviews with all the local and national experts, as well as periodic coach and player audio, this is the place for you. My name is Matt George. I have the privilege of being your host here. I'm from Sports 1140 KHDK, which is the flagship radio station of the Kings in Sacramento. I work there as an on-air host and a multimedia journalist and reporter. A longtime Kings fan turned into a Sacramento Kings media member, someone who has made the unwise decision, according to many, to cover the team that I grew up loving and supporting. But I'm right there with you in the trenches of fandom with this Kings team. So hopefully I'm able to bridge the gap as well as I can between you, wherever you are in the world, if you're local in Sacramento, or if you're all the way in Europe or overseas in Australia. We have so many international listeners as well. If I can help bridge your gap between yourself and the Kings organization and what goes on behind the scenes on the daily with this franchise and with this organization, then I will have done my job correctly. Lots to talk about here today, and this is going to be an interaction episode, which means I'm going to need you and your response and the conversation to continue beyond the recording of this podcast. The best way to get involved in the conversation is on social media. Twitter is the best way. At Matt George KHTK is how you can reach me, find me, drop me a follow, let me know you listen to the Locked On Kings podcast. I'll be sure to follow you back. It's a great place for us to have discussions any day, anytime. If it's Kings related, sports related, anything, that's the best place to reach me. But also, you can reach me via email if you want things to be a little more private or if you're not on social media. mgeorge@saclocalmedia.com is a great way to reach me. Those emails come directly to me, to my work email, and I respond to those as much as I can whenever I can. And I get a bunch of emails daily, so I try and get back to all of you. If I haven't gotten back to you, I apologize. I will do my best to make sure that every email is responded to or acknowledged in some way, shape, or form. But today we're going to start talking about something that's not going down for a while. We still have an off season between now and the start of the 2019-2020 season. But before that season starts, you have training camp. And I think training camp for next season is going to be extremely important. We're going to talk about some wish list items and things that I would like to see this Kings team work on and things that I think they need to focus on during that training camp. Of course, personnel could be completely different. We don't know what new players are going to be part of that squad, what returning players are going to be part of that squad. We can pretty much assume and rest assured that the established core of the Kings, Fox, Hield, Bogdanovich, Marvin Bagley, Harry Giles, Harrison Barnes, we can pretty much assume that that group is going to be returning and will be a part of this Kings training camp next year. So that's the information we'll go off of. There is a chance that potentially there could be new coaches, a new head coach in general, which I think would be a horrible decision, even though Dave Yeager is signed through next season. You never know how coaching shakeups go during a summertime, especially with some of the names that potentially can be available this summer, some firings that are expected to happen here over the next month or so in the NBA. So you never know, but we're going to take the information that we have right now, all of the feedback from this season, recent games and beginning of the season, what they've done last summer to now, and use that to establish a very early portfolio, or like I said, wish list of what we want this Sacramento Kings team to cover and tackle and address wholeheartedly, 100% during the training camp before next season. We're also going to talk about the development of Marvin Bagley's three-point shot and how That the emergence of that shot, at least over the last couple of games, if that can become more consistent, how quickly that will result in him being in the starting lineup and who his best matchup would be or who his best partner would be in the starting front court, assuming that he started tonight or in the very near future. Of course, Kings are taking on the Dallas Mavericks. We'll have a brief preview of that. Also have an injury update on Harry Giles for you at the end of the podcast, so be sure to stay tuned for that. But let's dive in to this training camp conversation, because this was something that I actually tweeted out, and I started this conversation following the loss to the Lakers on Sunday. And the Kings have had over 24 hours now to get over that loss, to get over that sting. But there are a lot of lessons to be taken from that loss and a lot of lessons to be taken from the majority of the losses that the Kings have suffered this season. The good news is, and this is everything that we could have asked for going into this year, that the Kings have been relatively competitive on a nightly basis. They have lost a lot of very close games. Now, they are one game under 500, so they've lost more than they have won this season, which I think we all expected. They've certainly won more games than we all expected as well this year, and will hopefully end up around 500. Over 40 wins would be a phenomenal season for this Kings team. But so many, a handful of these Kings losses, we can point to specific issues as the main reason. Offensive and defensive rebounding, or allowing too many offensive rebounds, is a huge one. Perimeter defense is huge. Inability to get a shot off in a half-court set to potentially win or tie a game. There are a number of mistakes that this young Kings team has made over the course of this year that has hurt them and come back to really bite them in this season. And you can look at some of the losses to the Warriors as perfect examples. You could look at the loss at home to the Milwaukee Bucks, the loss at home recently blowing the 28-point lead to the Brooklyn Nets, blowing the big lead in Phoenix against the Suns. There are a lot of games this season, and James Hamm actually did a piece about this on NBCSN, which I encourage you to check out if you have the time. James Hamm, a Sacramento Kings insider for NBC. You see him all the time on Kings pregame and postgame on TV. A great guy to follow, a great guy to know. You've also heard him on this podcast before if you are a frequent listener. He writes about some of the games that the Kings will really focus on and really think about, and I'm sure Dave Yeager and the coaching staff will use as teaching examples for this team come training camp next year. So here's my major wish list. It's five items, and now you don't have to give me five. You can give me one, two, three. You can agree with some. If you want to add to this list, let me know. There's only so much that you can address in training camp. It's only a couple of weeks, and you want to make sure, first and foremost, that you're getting yourself conditioning-wise ready for the next season. There's only so much practice time during the regular season. You really have to squeeze a lot of stuff in, and rather than what this team may have done in the past, which is try and do a little bit of everything because they are so young and developing, I really want to see the Kings focus on these five areas. Now, one area is nothing new for this Kings team, and it's pretty self-explanatory, and I just mentioned conditioning. The first one, I want to see this team continue to work on that fast-paced conditioning, and remember on a podcast not too long ago, I shared with you an article that was written about the intense regime, the intense training, the cardio, the sprints that Coach Yeager and the Kings coaching staff put this young team through at the start of training camp for this current season that we're in. It caused some players to throw up, to definitely get nauseous. They worked their butts off to get ready for this season, and we saw that it worked. The Kings caught a lot of teams off guard, caught them by surprise early on this season, but it was their pace that really established themselves and established their identity. It's been a long time since the Kings have had an identity, and that pace is at the center of their identity now, and that's something that they're going to need to continue. They're not going to catch teams by surprise anymore, coming out of the gate, playing fast, playing up-tempo, but they still should be able to play that way. So number one, first and foremost, is continue that fast-paced conditioning. Make sure that on game one of the season, even though you're wanting to make sure you make every player last all 82 games, but on game one, you are able to play at the fast speed and tempo for as long as you can right out of the gate. I think that's an asset that not too many teams can do. It takes a lot of teams, especially veteran-heavy teams, to work their way into regular season form and regular season shape. And now, I'm not saying the Kings are immune to that just because they're younger and they like to push the tempo, but there are a good handful of games, like we saw this year, that the Kings can go out and win early on, regardless of their competition, if they start the season with a leg up over their opponents in terms of conditioning and in terms of pace. So that's number one. Number two, and I just mentioned this, half-court inbound situations. In late-game moments, in late-game spots, one of the biggest assets or feathers in the cap of head coach Dave Yeager, at least on his coaching resume and on his, I guess, coaching business card, or if you were to collect cards, you know how playing cards of players and stuff like that has their stats and their attributes and assets and things like that on the back. If coach Dave Yeager had a card, one of them would be his ability to draw up plays out of timeouts and out and in half-court situations and set-piece situations. And that is something that I do believe is a very prominent skill of his, although we haven't seen it to the extent that we would like to this season. In fact, there have been times that the Kings have tried to execute half-court set-piece positions and have just stumbled and fallen flat on their face. The most recent one that I can point to was in the Lakers game. The Kings were down by, I think it was 3 or 4 points. They needed a big basket. Bogdan Bogdanovic was inbounding. They had advanced the ball after a Kings timeout. So they were trying to advance in the half-court set, and the Kings were called for a five-second violation because they couldn't get the ball in. Another example is the Milwaukee Bucks game, how they got the ball into De'Aaron Fox. Everybody stood around, and De'Aaron Fox was trying to dribble and get himself some space, get himself some separation, never got a screen for some reason that is just inexplainable, and he was not even able to get a shot off. There's been a number of times this season that the Kings, in those situations, even if the game was tied or even if it was to end a quarter, the Kings are not able to get a shot off in those spots, and even if it's a bad shot, it's better than nothing. And that's something I want this Kings team to address and work on. Now, one of the big areas, at least from me watching, and one of the biggest issues that I see, is that the Kings, they don't have enough talent like the Warriors, per se, to where teams are worried about focusing on one player too much and allowing others to get open and make big shots. The Kings are pretty easy to figure out. You can pretty much guess, at least as of right now, that this might change with Marvin Bagley's emergence, but as of right now, teams can pretty much guess and gamble on the ball is going to be going to the hands of either Buddy Hield or De'Aaron Fox. At least that's where the Kings would like to get it to. That's their number one and number two option. So teams have done a very good job, and Dave Yeager has mentioned this in post-game press conferences. Teams have done a very good job taking options one and two away. And the Kings, right now, they're too young, they're too inexperienced to know how to address that. They end up just forcing things, and that's why they don't get a shot off, or they end up turning the ball over or getting five-second violations because they don't know where to go with the ball. They aren't quick enough yet to adapt to those situations, to read what the defense is getting them, and to find the open guy, and then use ball movement off the ball to get the ball to that open man if time permits. If you have 10 to 13 seconds, if you can't get the ball in the hands of Buddy Hield or De'Aaron Fox on the inbound, you have enough time to inbound it to a big man or to another forward or guard and allow a big or someone else to set a screen for Fox or Hield to get them that space to get that open shot. That's something we haven't seen from this Kings team yet. One, because of situations. Two, because of timing. And three, just because they're not ready to read and execute on those situations yet. So many times, and I guarantee it'll happen a handful of times here in the playoffs, those final plays come down to scrambles, but the best teams can find a way to execute outside of the playbook. And the Kings are still trying to figure out consistently what their playbook is other than run the ball up and down the floor and score as quickly as possible or get the ball to Buddy Hield for an outside three. I mean, the Kings just don't have that much of an established playbook yet. So starting there, addressing those set pieces in training camp, I think would be extremely important. Now, free throws have also been brutal for this Kings team. The Kings are shooting, I believe, in the low 70s in terms of free throw percentage, which is inexcusable. It's not good. If the Kings were shooting, let's say, 82 to 86%, from the field this season, I honestly believe they'd be 3 or 4 games over 500. They've left so many points at the line this year that teams have no problem fouling Fox or fouling Hield or even fouling Marvin Bagley when they're attacking the basket or trying to be aggressive, because they know that there's a good chance that the Kings are going to split the free throws or maybe even miss both. With the amount of points that the Kings have left at the line, you really cannot be a successful team if you are struggling to knock down free throws. Now, some of the greatest players of all time, Shaquille O'Neal is the first name that comes to mind, have not always been known for their free throw. I mean, it's some teams, some players have it, some don't, and a lot of it is just a mental battle. But as a whole, your team needs to knock down those free throws. And we've seen good free throw shooters this year, Bogdan Bogdanovic, Buddy Hield, go down and drop down. De'Aaron Fox needs to get better as a free throw shooter. So all in all, as a team, free throws have to be a focus. I'm sure they work on them every day now in practice, so I'm not saying anything they don't already know, and I'm not saying that they aren't working on this already, but free throws is definitely something they need to focus on and improve in next year's training camp. Perimeter defensive rotations is huge as well. Now, the big men defensively haven't been great either. Willie Cauley-Stein hasn't been a good rotation defender or as good as you want him to be. Marvin Bagley is still learning, and I thought he's done well to use his athleticism to bail him out sometimes, but you can't always rely on your athleticism to bail you out. So the big men certainly have work to do, but it starts on the perimeter. And quite frankly, Kings guards, Hield, Bogey, Fox, Yogi, they get blown by on the perimeter far too often, and that triples, if not quadruples, the workload of bigs down low, forces them to make a decision between attacking the ball handler and leaving their man for an open dunk, or staying with their man, allowing the ball handler to get to the rim for an easy layup. It's such a tough spot to be in, and oftentimes the bigs are blamed for it. So it starts on the perimeter. Hield needs to become a better perimeter defender. He doesn't need to be a lockdown defender by any means, but he needs to do a better job staying in front of his man. Same thing with Bogey. And De'Aaron Fox, we know he can be an effective defender. We've seen it. When he wants to be aggressive defensively, particularly in the fourth quarter in a close game, he can shut anybody down. His game against Mike Conley in Sacramento earlier on this season is the perfect example of that. But you need that more consistently throughout four quarters. I've said it a million times, and I know this is a name that Kings fans are interested in the Kings potentially going out and get, but I would love to see De'Aaron Fox work with Patrick Beverley for a summer, just for some workouts for a couple of weeks. And Patrick Beverley can just teach him that tenacity, teach him that drive, that desire. I mean, so much of it can't be taught, but the fundamentals of it can. And I would love to see De'Aaron Fox learn from that. So perimeter defense is huge. And finally, I would love to see, this one's been the biggest one for me, the most frustrating one for me, boxing out and establishing yourself on the defensive glass. The Kings have given up so many second chance points, have given up so many offensive rebounds, that there are multiple games that you can point to this season. Specifically, the reason why they lost was because of a lack of defensive rebounding and giving up offensive rebounds and giving up too many second chance opportunities. This is not just on the bigs, this is on the guards as well, but especially the big men, whoever they are on this Kings team starting at training camp, need to be working from day one on making sure they do a better job reading the ball off the rim and getting their work done ahead of time, pushing their men out, get in the weight room, add some pounds. I'm looking at you, Harry Giles. I'm looking at you, Marvin Bagley, and be able to push your man off the block, get to a position to secure the defensive rebound. Marvin Bagley already pretty much averages a double-double as it is. If he added that weight and that ability to read the ball off the rim and box his man out, he could average 12-plus rebounds a game. Harry Giles could average a double-double if he's able to do that as well. So that's something that these big men need to hit hard this summer, and that is something I definitely expect to be corrected by next season. Other than his defense, one of the biggest concerns for Marvin Bagley coming out of college was his inability to space the floor and his lack of a three-point shot. Now, he shot almost 40% from three-point range in college, but he took very few attempts at Duke. That wasn't his game. There was no need really for him to take those shots. Now, he opened up this season not shooting well from three-point range, and it was getting to the point that, quite frankly, and I've heard many a basketball mind in Sacramento say, I'd rather just see him not shoot it and get him down low where he belongs and try and get him to run through the high post. And the worst or the deepest shot he takes should be a mid-range jumper. Well, that conversation has changed over the last week or so, 2 weeks, as Bagley is shooting threes more frequently. He's starting to make those threes more frequently. And he said it himself, he's always been a very confident three-point shooter. He's aware that that shot is extremely important for his development. In the modern NBA game, big men have to be able to space the floor, either regardless of if you're a four or a five. You have to be able to stretch the floor to help your teammates out. He knows that De'Aaron Fox has been working on his outside shot, but De'Aaron Fox likes to get to the rim. If he's going to play a lot alongside Harry Giles, the two of them can't clog the paint together. So Marvin Bagley has been working on that outside shot, and it's starting to come. Now, my instant overreaction as a fan and someone who wants to see Marvin Bagley succeed is, ha-ha, he's a three-point shooter now. And I've said that before, and it was more tongue-in-cheek and jest and in fun. But he has to obviously establish that shot and do and hit that shot more consistently. That being said, you have to give him an opportunity to show that consistency. And that's going to come, in my opinion, in the starting lineup. You've heard me say it a million times, so I'm not going to go into more detail. I think Marvin Bagley should be starting for the remainder of this season. I'm aware, and I've said this before also, that the starting spot in the NBA is mostly ceremonial. What matters is, are you on the floor to close out games? And Marvin Bagley, since coming back from his injury, has consistently been on the floor to close out games. He is getting those minutes over Willie Cauley-Stein right now, which I think is 100% the right call. But starting, getting him used to playing with that unit out of the gate and getting him to be effective in the opening minutes of the game, not just against a team's second units coming off the bench, is extremely important as well. And I want to see Marvin Bagley getting those minutes and getting used to starting right out of the gate, playing the opening minutes of the game, establishing himself early on, and playing, quite frankly, where he belongs. He deserves to be a starter. He's the only one of the top picks that isn't starting right now, and I understand that's a little bit of strategy by Dave Yeager and also just a little bit of development prowess and coaching preference. So I'm not going to tell Dave Yeager that he's wrong by any means for not starting Bagley up to this point. Obviously, it's worked because Bagley has developed game by game, minute by minute that he has played so far this season. But let's just assume that Marvin Bagley was to get the start tonight against the Dallas Mavericks and he was going to be starting for what's left of this season. Obviously, I would like to see him start alongside Harry Giles, but now with this Harry Giles injury that he's suffered right now, which I have an update for or on that for you here in just a little bit, it doesn't look like Harry Giles is going to make his way into the starting lineup this season. And you know what? That's okay. That's fine. I can live with that. I can't live with Marvin Bagley not making it in, though. So my question is, where does he make the most sense? We heard, and one of the arguments against him starting earlier on was you didn't want to move Willie Cauley-Stein out of the starting lineup, so you would start Marvin Bagley at the four. Many believe that the four is Marvin Bagley's true position. But you have floor spacing issues with both Willie Cauley-Stein and Bagley out there, and neither is an established three-point shooter. Well, if you start Marvin Bagley right now, besides Willie Cauley-Stein, beside him, I mean, you're going to get opportunity to space the floor and give him outside looks, which is one of the things that you want to do for the remainder of the season. The other option is starting him alongside Nemanja Bjelica. That allows Marvin Bagley to work more inside out. Nemanja Bjelica spaces the floor, and that doesn't just help Bagley, that helps the rest of the guards. But there's two issues with that. There is a defensive issue, and then there's an issue of Willie Cauley-Stein's effectiveness and him checking out. The bottom line is Nemanja Bjelica and Willie Cauley-Stein shouldn't be the ones holding Marvin Bagley back from being a starter and reaching what he deserves to be, which is a starter at the NBA level. Neither of them are important enough to hold him back from that. So I throw the question out to you. Which lineup would you rather see? Who would you plug him in for in the starting lineup? Do you want to see him line up alongside Bjelica and maybe play outside of his normal position, give up a little bit of size as a center, but allow him to work inside out? Or do you want to see him start alongside Willie Cauley-Stein and see him space the floor a little bit more, but potentially risk some of that shooting and spacing that's been so efficient, and essential for this Kings team this year? Let me know at MattGeorgeKHDK on Twitter, or you can email me mgeorge@saclocalmedia.com. Sacramento Kings are at the Dallas Mavericks tonight. Nothing's different from this game that just took place in Sacramento last week. The Kings should win this game. I expect Luka Doncic to have a good night. Hopefully Dirk Nowitzki has a good night for entertainment purposes. But like I said before, this team, this Dallas Mavericks squad, does not have enough talent overall right now because of injuries to be able, or that they should beat this Kings team. The Kings have more depth and more talent overall than this Mavericks squad. If Luka goes for 40 and Dirk Nowitzki goes for 25, that's great. That's 65 points right there. You can't allow the other guys to score 45, 50 points and break that 100 mark and end up beating you. The Kings should win this game in Dallas. I expect them to win this game in Dallas and wash the bad taste of the Lakers loss out of their mouth. Once again, I'm hoping for a good game from Luka and a good battle between Luka and Marvin Bagley, because entertainment value speaks for itself. And I'm sure Luka is going to want to get a little bit of revenge for the bad performance that he had, quite frankly, here in Sacramento. A horrible and inefficient shooting performance there. But of course, the Dallas Mavericks are trying to quote unquote tank to be able to hold on to their draft pick and not send it to Atlanta. So all in all, this should be a Kings win here tonight. However, the Kings will be without the services of Harry Giles. Actually, it's not guaranteed that they'll be without his services, but it's most likely they will not have Harry Giles able to go in this game. He is officially listed as doubtful. He has that left leg contusion. I believe it was against the Mavericks that he hurt his leg when he took that kind of scary fall right by the Kings bench. The Kings erring on the side of caution, as they've done all season long, so I wouldn't read too far into it. I'm sure he is okay, and he's just getting back to normal, but they don't want to risk any kind of serious injury, especially towards the end of the season when playoffs are likely out of the window. It's disappointing, too, because Harry Giles was starting to really consistently get some playing time. He was looking really good, and we were seeing a lot of him playing alongside Marvin Bagley, and that dynamic duo was definitely becoming fun to watch. If you want to respond to anything on today's show, again, this is a discussion-based podcast, so I need your involvement. At MattGeorgeKHDK on Twitter, mgeorge@saclocalmedia.com. Let me know what you think and where you would like to plug Marvin Bagley into the starting lineup, if at all. What wish list items do you have this, or do you want to see this Kings team address and focus on here during the offseason and during training camp next year? All of that is fair game. Plus, any questions that you might have about this Kings team, any comments that you have about tonight's matchup, the Lakers game, anything like that. If you want to throw out predictions or scenarios that you would like to see the Kings do, or things you would like to see the Kings try and accomplish this summer, it's all fair game. It's all Kings discussion-based content, and I encourage it to the fullest here. And don't just share it with me. Share it with your fellow Kings fans. If you know someone who is a Kings fan that's looking for a podcast or doesn't necessarily know about the Locked On Kings podcast, encourage them to go check it out and have discussions based off of some of the topics that we talk about here. That's what makes us better as a fan base. That's what makes us more informed as a fan base. And if the Kings are the most informed fan base in the NBA, or that they have the most informed fan base in the NBA, it further cements their legacy of having the greatest supporting group and most loyal supporting group in all of professional sports. I'm biased, but I don't care. It's truth. Thank you so much for listening to today's Locked On Kings podcast. I will talk to you tomorrow. We'll recap this Dallas Mavericks game. Until then, my name is Matt George. You have been listening to Locked On Kings, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.